Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trey. All right, so we are continuing our sermon series on core, the kind of the core steps or core values that our church has, but we also, as we reflected on them, it should be a core values that every Christian has. So as you guys can see, it says C stands for centering God's grace, O stands for obeying God's truth, R, which is we're going to teach on today, is reflecting God's purpose, and E, embodying God's love. So today is the reflecting God's purpose, and we're going to have to look into it. The key of this teaching is we're reflecting God's purpose. So the hard part was it to figure out what's God's purpose. Not God's purpose for us, but God's purpose. Who he is and why.
Well, he does have a purpose for us, but so often in our lives, what we're looking for is our purpose.
Yeah.
We want to know what our purpose is, and we pursue all these things to say, what is God calling me to do, and what am I supposed to do in this life? What am I supposed to do in this world? But when you have a purpose is the reason for which something is done, for the reason it was created, or the reason why something exists. So this isn't necessarily something you're supposed to do. We're going to discover that this is who we're supposed to be, which is very different. So to start off with, the first verse we're going to look at is Ephesians 3, verse 10. You want me to read? Okay, so Ephesians 3, verse 10 says this: His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So that's his purpose, is that now, through the church, the wisdom of God would be made known, not only to the people around us, but notice this, it's to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And that's honestly something we often forget. We think about how we're supposed to go into all nations and preach the gospel, or we want to be an example to our friends and family. But in the story of Scripture, heaven is actually watching us, and the manifold wisdom of God, his purposes, it says here, his intent, in other words, God's purpose was that his glory would be revealed in heaven and on earth through the church, through us. So our purpose ultimately is to bring God glory by revealing his wisdom in history and in creation. That is our purpose.
Now, just so we kind of know the other steps, is what is God's purpose for us? And God's purpose for us is shown in Revelations 21:3. So that way we don't get confused, because we're going to talk about what his purpose for us really quickly. We're going to talk about what is not God's purpose for us, and then we're going to come back to going deeper into how to reflect the God's purpose. So this is Revelation 21, verse 3. And this is John speaking. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So our purpose, that we will be his people, period. That's what was his purpose for the people of Israel, and that was his purpose for all of us, is to be his people and for him to be our God. That is the purpose. Without questioning, without like, well, should I this? Just let's keep it simple. We need to be his people. He needs to be our God and no one else.
And this is what we see at the end. And the beauty of Scripture is that he reveals the end from the beginning. Amen. So we know that we're supposed to reveal God's wisdom in heaven and on earth. But the way that God's wisdom is that he takes these creatures who are made of dust, right? Mm. Who are, in the big scheme of things, we're insignificant, we're fallen, we're full of sin, we're full of brokenness, we're very limited, and he turns us into his people. And that is the wisdom of God, is how he could take these broken things, these things that seem unredeemable, right, and turn them into what he originally intended, which he reveals in Genesis, that we are made in his image mm-hmm. and in his likeness. And he takes the dirt, and he all of a sudden reflects his glory because we become like him. we begin to emulate his character and his qualities. And ultimately, his goal is not that we would necessarily, that he would have more worshipers, but that we would reflect his glory. That's what we're talking about today, is reflecting God's purpose through our lives. Just to give you a little day-to-day illustration of what we mean by this, looking at the end from the beginning. You know, if you would see me in the kitchen, right, and I'm throwing in into a bowl, I'm throwing in eggs and flour and sugar, the more I do, at first you might say, well, what is she doing? And you're watching me, but as I put the ingredients in, eventually it starts to take shape, right? And you can start to figure out, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. She's putting the batter into a pan, and then she's putting it in the oven. Oh, she's making a cake, right? Take the cake out of the oven. Now I'm frosting it. And you start to realize, oh, okay, it's a birthday cake. But here's the part that we're missing. I'm not just making a cake. The real purpose of what I'm doing in this situation would be to celebrate Micah's birthday. The cake is just the way that I'm going to celebrate the birthday. And we get so focused on, we're like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's taking things in our lives, hardships, suffering, situations. And then we try to connect it like, okay, Lord, you know, we know you work all things together for the good of those who love you. And we're trying to figure out, it's like, oh, okay, you're going to use my past so that I could be a minister for the future. And he's like, yes, yes. But all of these are a path for you to become the man of God,
yeah,
or the woman of God that I've created you to be. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So the cake, he's not just making a cake to make a cake. The purpose of the cake is to celebrate his son,
amen,
right? Mm-hmm. So the reason why he's doing the work in us is so that we could be with him, we could be his people, and he would be our God.
Amen.
Yeah, and just like she said, from the beginning to the end, so we quoted from Revelation 21:3. I also want to quote from Exodus 3:14.
Sorry.
So Exodus 3:14, and this is Moses having a conversation with God through the burning bush. And he says, Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell him? And God said to Moses, I am who I am, or in other things, I will be what I will be. This is what you are to say to Israel. I am has sent me to you. And what we wanted to point out with this thing is that there's no comparison to our God. He's just be. That's it. He is not the God of rain and the God of thunder and the God of fertility and the God of what other gods that are out there. He's just God. There's no way to
define
him. There's no way to put him in a box. He is be. He will be who he says he will be, who he wants to be. So we just have this amazing God that we truly cannot put in a box or should put in a box. And that is his purpose, to be. That's it. Do not put him in any other way. He will, yes, he is your provider, but he's also just be. Yes, he's your peace, but he's also just going to be. He's going to be your counselor. He's going to be all those wonderful words that we describe him as, but at the end of the day, he's just being him.
He's the great I am.
He is the great I am, and that's enough. That is more than enough for us.
Yes, and so what that means is if God is defining himself as the great I am, which the Hebrew is, I will be who I will be, not just I am, but he is becoming. So we may say, like you were saying, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who sees. We put all these things on God and we try to define him by what he does.
Yeah.
But he will not be defined by what he does. That's what he was saying. Yes, he's our counselor. Yes, he does these things. But he is. He just is. He is, yep, who he is. And we worship him because of who he is, not because of what he does. And we should seek him for his presence. We should seek him for who he is, not what he can do for you. He's not Santa Claus, right? He's not a genie in a bottle. We seek God's presence because of his character, because of his love for us, not because of what he can do for us. So here's some of the ways that we have gotten it twisted, to be honest. What is not God's purpose in us? These are some of the things that we think. But again, these are like the cake to the birthday celebration. And we get so focused on the cake, we forget what the cake is for. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that we get twisted is that we are not enlisted in God's army.
Come on.
Ooh.
We often think about, oh, we're these warriors for Christ and we're these, but that is not God's purpose. God says over and over and over again, I will fight your battles. He does not need you to be some soldier. We even misquote, you know, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we think that we're supposed to go storming the gates of hell and, you know, casting out demons and all this. No, we are supposed to stand firm. We are supposed to be the men and women of God, and God will fight our battles. And Matthew 26, verse 53 is this great example. They come to arrest Jesus. They come because he's going to be crucified. And Jesus points out, and he stops because Peter tries to attack them to defend Jesus. And he says, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? So God does not need us to fight battles for him. Wow. That is not your purpose. He has legions and legions and legions of angels who were designed to do that, not you and I.
Yeah, and just to throw, John 18:36 says the same thing. It says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Again, this is the army that he has, the people that he has. He doesn't need us. There's such a powerful army that's backing him up in his place, not here. Mm-hmm. That's not our purpose.
Yeah. And just to reiterate some of what I already said about our role is to be still and stand firm. Exodus 14 is the scene that the Israelites they were in slavery and God delivers them from that slavery. But the Egyptians now have this mighty army and they're chasing them down. And you would think, okay, you know, they're supposed to take and they're supposed to fight back and they'll win. But that's not what happens. The picture in Exodus 14:14, I'll actually read 13, that through Moses, God reveals, he says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Wow. You need only be still. So you have all these things going on in your life and we try to fight and we just, oh, I'm a soldier and I'm going to put on the full armor. Really, the armor is to protect you, but God will fight your battles. You do not have to fight against the enemy. He will fight your battles for you. All you have to do is be still.
Now, the next one, it might be a little bit hard to look at, too, but we are not, our purpose is not to serve him. I know we want to serve and this is a beautiful thing. But John 15:15, it says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So what this is saying is that when we are doing the things we're doing, it's not because we're serving God and sacrificing all things. No, because we love him. Because he calls us friend, we're doing this with him, because the Holy Spirit that is in us helping us do these things out of love, out of desire to do the things for a friend. There's a totally different thing when you're serving a master and you're serving and you're doing something for a friend. Wow. So when we're like, oh, I have to serve, it's not. This is not it. He doesn't need us to do that. He's calling us to be friend, that when we come next beside him, in the what the Holy Spirit is moving in us and guiding us through, he just wants us to do these things with him, with him, not underneath him.
Yep. And we're pushing the envelope here because we so often think and we believe that our purpose is to serve the Lord. And so to say your purpose, you were not designed to serve the Lord. Again, we do serve him, but that benefits us. It teaches us the fruit of the Spirit, right? We learn love, joy, peace, patience, because we humble ourselves. So he uses that, but that is not your purpose. God has, again, legions of angels who were created to be servants and messengers. That is not your design. That is not the end goal. God does not need more servants. The third thing, and this is where we really push the envelope. Y'all ready for this one?
More?
You were not... Your purpose is not to worship him. Your purpose is not to worship him. We worship him because he's so amazing that we want to. We worship him because you really just can't help but not do it, right? When you see his holiness and you see his glory. But that is not your purpose. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 through 11 says, each of the four creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So in other words, these beings, their purpose, they were created to spend eternity worshiping him. And that over and over and over again, this is what they do for all eternity. And there's this, just kind of sidebar, there's this really cool note in the next chapter where the Lamb of God steps on the scene. And it says that they sang a new song. Wow. We're not going to get into that, but it's pretty cool that because of what Christ did, there's this shift literally in the heavens, that the song they've been singing for eternity is now different. Mm. So we will worship him, we will serve him, we'll do these things, but they're very much like love languages, right? In a relationship, in a healthy relationship, you serve one another, you encourage one another, you have quality time. So that kind of ties together. Our purpose is not to serve. Our purpose is not to worship. Our purpose, we will do those things. The purpose, though, is to love him. Mm. Our purpose is for relationship. Our purpose is to be in communion with him and with one another.
Wow. Yes, I just kind of, because I'm looking at this day and night. Day and night they're doing this. Every time this comes out, they're laying their crowns before us, and we're like, I'm a worshiper. I mean, I only do it on Sunday for the 30 minutes, but I'm a worshiper. And God has these beings day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All these kings laying down their throne, and we're like, Sunday from 10 to 10:30. That's, I am a worshiper. No, like, there's more. There's so much more. He wants so much more for you. And we cannot miss it because we put a label on ourselves.
Yeah, and even I think a lot of people have this image in their head that one day we'll get to heaven and we will just worship God forever. And in a way we will, but we're not defining worship properly in that sense. We're not just going to get to heaven and be like, oh my gosh, we have to sing and kneel and stand for the rest of eternity. We just kind of know deep in our soul, like, that can't be it. Like, heaven has to be something more, something different. And it is. It honestly is. The picture that we see in Revelation is that we will be his people and he will be our God. That we will be walking with him, talking with him. We will be in communion for all of eternity. And that is so different from everything else that he has created. So I want to just differentiate. I'm pretty excited about this, as you guys can tell. So I'm doing a lot of the talking. What we want to differentiate, and I think this will help us kind of flesh out what this looks like, is that there is a difference between function and purpose. And so often we're looking and we're searching because what we think is, you know, find your purpose, pursue your dreams. But really what we're looking for in that sense is function, when what we need to be asking is, what is our purpose? And the example of this is, so my husband is very handy, okay? He can do some electrical work, he can do some plumbing. He amazes me all the time because I see really complicated problems and he can very simply solve them, and it just amazes me all the time. But he also, I could give you a tour of our house of projects where he just kind of like makes it happen and then he doesn't come back to it. So one of the things that we have in our house is we have this sledgehammer, this rubber, it's a mallet, a rubber mallet, right? And a couple of years ago, I don't even know how many, probably five, maybe six years ago, we had this problem that our dryer, when it would be on, it would shake and vibrate and it would almost topple over because the floor is not level. So his solution was, he took the sledgehammer and he wedged it underneath the dryer, right? So it solved the problem. The dryer no longer shakes because the floor is level.
You're welcome.
And it has been like this for like 6 years, right? But when you really break it down, it's doing the job. It's functioning. But that's not the mallet's purpose. The mallet's purpose is to be used to pound things in as a tool for other things. And this is what happens is we define our purpose as we're an engineer or we're a teacher or we're a lawyer or we're a chaplain or we're a student. We define ourselves by all of these things, but those are just our function. Mm-hmm. That's not our purpose. And the problem with that is that we get so wrapped up into our function that we can no longer live out our purpose. When I need a mallet in our house, guess what? I cannot use that mallet because it's wedged underneath the dryer.
I got another one.
But right? So this is what happens. When we have a project where I need an actual mallet, because that mallet is too busy,
Lord help,
I have to go find another mallet. And I have to use the other mallet. So as the church, we run into major problems when we define ourselves and we get so wrapped up in our function, because then when God really wants to use us for what we were designed for, we're too busy.
Wow.
And we're carrying the weight, just like this mallet is, we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders when he's really like the mallet that's sitting on the shelf and doing nothing is actually more effective in its purpose than the one that's working all the time.
Wow.
So you might be busy even doing good things, even doing church things, serving God and all of this, but you would do better to just be at home sitting in a quiet place so that you can hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to do and be ready when he's ready to move in your life.
Come on.
That's good. See, that's why I didn't want you to tell me. This is good.
All right, let's. We can skip that one.
So, how do we reflect God's purpose? So, let us go through some scriptures and some examples of how do we actually do these things. So, the first one is Ephesians 6:14. It's the scripture about the armor of God. And I just want to focus on the beginning of this. Before he starts listing the whole armor of God, Paul says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate and righteousness and all the armor and everything else." But I want to focus on the first thing. Stand firm. Stand firm. This is our purpose, that when there is a battle going on in your life and people are looking to the left, to the right, and like, how are you going to react? I'm just going to stand firm because you know what? My God is I am, the great I am. Yes, all these things I have salvation, I have righteousness, I have the sword of the Spirit, and I got the truth and everything else. But the biggest thing I have to do is to stand firm. I need to stand firm in the faith, knowing that my God got me. That's how I reflect who God is. It's just standing, having that peace of God.
Yeah.
So we talked about being in the army and we're going to slash and attack the gates of hell. No, you know what I got to do? Because Jesus already went to the gates of hell and he had the victory. All I have to do is stand on his promise.
Yes.
That the victory is mine. I just got to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, Ephesians 4:11-13. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature at attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So we have all these things, right? We're talking about the apostles, prophets, teachers. What's the purpose of this? The purpose for us is to just become mature so we can understand the full measure of Christ. That's the whole purpose of us. Yes, all these things is going to help us, lead us into understanding of who God is. But the whole purpose is for us to become mature, that we can unite together, right? Unite together as people of God and unite together with God so we can be mature and understand the full measure of who Christ is. That's it. That's how we reflect things. Is coming together as one with God.
the next thing, the way that we reflect God's purpose is actually in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen. So once again, our purpose is to be the people of God. In this context, it says a royal priesthood. Well, the priesthood interceded between the rest of the people and God. And so if we are meant to be a priesthood, then our role is to intercede between the rest of the world and God, and to help bring the rest of the world into God's presence. So we are holy, but the word holy doesn't mean that you're good. It doesn't mean that you are perfect. The word holy means set apart for a purpose. So you have been set apart. That is what holy means, that you are meant to be different. You are meant to function differently than the rest of the world. And he has chosen you for that. And then in Revelation 22, verse 5, we won't read the whole thing, but it says at the end, it says, "And they will reign forever and ever." The Peter verse also says that we are a royal priesthood. So we are sons and daughters of the king. We are royalty. So we are not meant, although in this life we will serve him, our ultimate purpose is to reign with him, which is a very different picture. We are a royal priesthood. And in Revelation, at the end of the story, what our purpose will look like is that we will reign with him forever and ever. And that's an amazing privilege.
Yeah. And then we move on to, again, it's just different things that we do every day that brings God's purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's how we reflect things. Make sure that the things that we're doing is reflects the glory of God. This is the easiest way, like, well, I don't know if I should be doing this. Is this bringing the glory to God? Is it or is it not? Like, we have all these things, the tattoos, drinking, blah, 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 blah. Is it bringing glory to God? You know, like people, some of us, we ride motorcycles. Well, why do you do it? I'm like, it brings glory to God. It brings me peace, but it also brings glory to God. I go out there, I minister, I show the cross on my back. It brings glory to God, and that's why I do it. If somebody has other conversation, they're like, well, the reason I got this tattoos is because it brings glory to God. Okay. Let's talk about this. Let's go. But the biggest thing that we need to, instead of drawing this line of what's sin and when it's not sin and how can we interpret scripture, does it bring glory to God? Because everything that we do should bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Which gets us to this last verse to reiterate that. Colossians 3:17, the last verse in this section, is whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I think it's also really timely. I shared with you all that I'm leaving my role, and I could feel really, you know, oh, I'm the vice president of the seminary and all of that. But God is like, no, I'm taking you out of that. And to what? It's a mystery to me. I don't know. But to be able to walk away from it because I feel my purpose is to glorify the Lord in whatever I do, whatever my job is, whatever my role, whatever capacity. And if I'm in that situation and I no longer feel it's bringing glory to God, then he's going to move me in a different direction. And I have to listen. Whatever we do, if you're washing the dishes, you're in communion with God and you're praying and you're listening for what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you to do. If you're in an important business meeting, doing an important deal, how do you glorify God in that situation? So whatever we do in our words and our actions, it doesn't matter so much what we are doing, but how we are doing it.
Yes. I'm sorry. So the next point is, how do we bring him glory? His purpose is relationships, for us to reflect him, we become his image bearers. We got to be like him. It's the word says, be holy as I am holy. So it's be set apart the way he's set apart. We are here to bring glory and honor to him, just being like him. And I know, well, Jesus was something more. He wasn't just a man, but he came down to earth to live this life, to reflect how we should live our life. so that way we're not confused. And we have the Word of God that explains to us, the Gospels teaches us about how he lived his life. So one of the biggest things that we need to remember is that we're not doing this alone. We have this amazing promises. And Joshua 1:9, God is speaking to Joshua, says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Joshua is scared because Moses is no more. He has to lead the people of Israel, and he doesn't know what to do. And God reminds him, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then in Matthew 28, verse 20, when the apostles, Jesus is leaving them, and he's like, hey, go and make disciples of all nations. But here's a really good promise. Right at the end says, he says all the things that he has to do, and then, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So this confusion and this fear of what am I doing? Am I doing anything right? Remember, he is with you always. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. He is with you.
And just to really drive this home, the way that you know your purpose is really to be and not to do much of anything. Mm-hmm. Is that we were designed. You know what something is for by the way it's designed, right? And over and over and over again, Scripture reveals, the Lord tells us, in Ephesians 2:22, it says, "And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So you were designed to be, and then in 1 Corinthians 6:19, spells this out even further. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." So your design, the reason you were made in his image, was because his plan from the beginning was that his Spirit would dwell with you and in you. That is your design. That is your purpose, is to be God's, to have God's presence in the world, but also for his glory to be revealed in the way, not only in what you say and what you do, but even the way that you look, mm-hmm. is meant to be a reflection of God's glory. Whoa. Oh, okay. We in John 15, it's a very famous thing that Jesus tells us about how he is the vine and we are the branches. So what does this look like? How do we become a dwelling of the Holy Spirit? How do we fulfill our purpose of being God's people? In John 15, he says to abide in him, that we have to live constantly mindful that he is with us, that we have to draw very close to what he's leading us to say and what he's leading us to do, that the way that we live this out, the way that we reflect his purpose, is by remaining close to him. I had this several years ago. I was reflecting, we live by a park and there's all these people who are walking their dogs and whatnot. And this one man was walking a dog and the dog was just like pulling at the leash. And I was like, oh, that poor dog. He just wants to run free and he's being held on this leash, right? And I sense the Lord was just kind of showing me, but that's not freedom. Mm-hmm. True freedom would be the way, because if he lets the dog free and lets the dog loose, that dog will become astray. That dog will become lost. That the dog most, and I'm not comparing us to dogs, but the dog is actually most free and would be taken off the leash once that dog learns to stay close to his master. If that dog learns, because dogs are made, you might get a dog who's a canine for a police officer or a service animal or a security that helps keep you safe, all of that. But ultimately, the dog is designed as a companion. The dog is designed for that relationship. They're loyal. They're loving. You know, if you don't do any of those things, you just feed them and you snuggle with them and, play with them, they'll be the happiest dog in the world. And so if we just understand that freedom is really defined by abiding in him, and the closer we are, the more time we spend with God, listening to him, speaking with him, the more freedom we will actually find, because we will truly be living out our purpose. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.